The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
As we continue in chapter 21, we learn more about the vision of heaven that has been given to John. In this sermon, Elder Buddy Abernathy expounds upon John's vision of the bride of Christ, which is the Lamb's wife. We see a description here of the eternal city that will house the bride, which is eternal heaven. Join us today as we learn more about this glorious city, which is our great hope of eternal glory.
I want to continue in the book of Revelation tonight, and we'll be looking at chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21, and beginning with verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, the first question that I had when I read this portion of the chapter was, why is it that one of those seven angels that we read about earlier is the one telling this to John? Well, if you go back, and I figure if I need to refresh my memory, then you probably need to refresh yours too. These seven angels were introduced in chapter 15 and verse 1. And let's see what their mission was when they were originally mentioned. Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Now, by that last statement, we learn that these angels symbolically represent the fulfillment and finality of God's wrath and judgment of the wicked on the earth. And we'll not go over that again, but you'll remember that we went through what each one of these angels did when they poured out their vial upon the earth. We talked about what that represented. But here I just want you to remember, for our purposes tonight, that it says, in them, that is, in these seven angels, it says, in them is filled up the wrath of God. In other words, God's wrath is going to be fulfilled in what they do. And we read and tried to preach about what each one of these seven angels did. But let's just turn to the seventh one, which is mentioned in chapter 16, verse 17, and we'll see there's no doubt that these angels were used of God to fulfill and finalize His judgment upon this time world. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 17, it says, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, It is done." So this seventh angel is described as being used of God to fulfill and finalize His judgment on the earth. And again, just to refresh your memory, let's read the next three or four verses here. Revelation chapter 16, verse 18. "And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell," listen to this, "and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found." So that's clearly a description of God's ultimate final judgment and end of this time world. So I believe as we come over here in chapter 21, one of these angels is now introducing God's eternal city in heaven to God's people. It seems fitting when you think of it in that context. It says, "There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." We've read about their part, how they were used of God to destroy the earth, and now God is sending one of those same seven angels to show unto John the bride, that is, the Lamb's wife. Now, we'll see this as we proceed. You'll notice that he says, "I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife," but then he goes to describe not people, but a building, a city. And so the obvious conclusion is, he's saying, "I'm going to show you the dwelling place of God's people in heaven." And that's what we have here in Revelation. Now, I know much of Revelation is symbolic, but I've also reached the conclusion that some scriptures can be understood literally and also have a symbolic meaning as well. They can have a dual application in that way. And I'm not sure that we can't take that approach here. But first of all, notice what he says. "I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." That teaches the doctrine of election right there, doesn't it? The bride. And then comma, the Lamb with a capital L. The bride, the Lamb's wife. You remember what was said about the Lamb in John chapter 1 and I believe verse 29? John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Now, we could spend a lot of time preaching on that word "world." We're not going to do that tonight. But whatever that world represents, whoever is under consideration, Jesus came, listen, He came to take away the sin of the world. That world that He loved, He came to take away their sins. That's what John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, the sin of His people." And he says here that this is the bride, the Lamb's wife. Jesus knows who his wife is. Jesus was came and gave his life for his wife, for his bride. He saved her, and includes God's elect throughout all ages. From Adam all the way to this present day, God's elect people, which are a vast host that no man can number. And we're going to see, Lord willing, how huge and infinitely large the eternal city of Jerusalem is, which will house the bride, the Lamb's wife. You know, Jesus talked about this in John chapter 14. And verse 2, let's just turn to that for a moment. John chapter 14 and verse 2, Jesus is here speaking of the city of God in heaven. He says, in my Father's house, speaking of eternal heaven here, not the church, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus said to his apostles, in my Father's house in heaven, there are many mansions, many dwelling places for the bride, the Lamb's wife in heaven. So notice now, as we continue in Revelation 21, as this angel is showing John the bride, the Lamb's wife, he says, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me, listen now, that great city, the holy Jerusalem. Now this is the Jerusalem we've been waiting for throughout time. This is not the Old Testament city of Jerusalem. This is not Jerusalem as it is rightly symbolically applied sometimes to the New Testament church. This is not that Jerusalem. This is the Jerusalem that we've been waiting for. Notice what he says. I'm going to show unto you that great city, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. So what is John seeing here? He's seeing the place, the city, the eternal city that will house the bride, the Lamb's wife. The first thing he says about it, having the glory of God. Not the glory of man. Nobody there bragging about what they've done. Nobody there talking about who they've helped save and get to that place. No, he says it has the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone. Now, I'm not an expert on these stones. He mentions 12 different ones. You know, if you look up a jasper stone, you can find out that a jasper stone is not a precious stone, but this says this is a precious stone. From what I've come to conclude, this is perhaps, or at least much like a diamond. That's what it's like. Clear like crystal. He says, having the glory of God, and her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. No defilement, nothing dirty, nothing corrupt. The glory of God is reflected there like that jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high. To say it was great and high, I take that to mean it was a wide wall. You know, that was common in Old Testament cities. Their form of defense was a great and high wall. Well, notice it says this has a great and high wall. And listen to this now. It had 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. You know who goes into this city? God's people. That's throughout the whole Old Testament. The 12 tribes of the children of Israel, they were his elect people in a literal sense in the Old Testament, in that they're the people God chose to work with and bless. Now, we know that God has had elect people all over the world throughout history, but Israel in the Old Testament is a picture of the fact that God elected a people. And here, this is to house God's people. It had the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And it says there were 12 angels at these gates. Look at later on in this chapter, Revelation chapter 21, the last verse, verse 27. It says, referring to this city, "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." And does not the Bible say there, those names were there in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world? That's what the Bible says. If anybody's name's written in the Lamb's book of life, it was there from the foundation of the world. Because Jesus, again, knew who his bride was. He loved her. He knew who he loved. He knew who he was saving. And he saved her. It's his elect people. And they're typified here. They're symbolically represented here by these 12 gates with the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. The south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. You see, now we're getting a description of God's New Testament church. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, it says that we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. This city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So see, this is a city where God's people throughout all ages are. It's a place where God's people from the Old Testament are, God's people from the New Testament are, represented here by these 12 foundations with the names of the 12 apostles. And by the way, did you know that the number 12 stands for completeness and divine order? This is a place where it is complete. Everyone's there. No one's missing, and there's perfect divine order here. No confusion at all. Jesus knows who his bride is. "And he that talked with me had a golden reed." Now listen to this. "Had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof." So we're about to read, and in a spirit-inspired description of the city of God in heaven. Not Jerusalem on earth, not the New Testament church. This is the city of God in heaven. Because he said at the end of verse 12 that this holy Jerusalem was descending out of heaven from God. So he says in verse 16, "And the city lieth four square." That just means it was a square-shaped structure. Four square. "The city lieth four square, And the length is as large as the breadth, meaning it's just as deep or wide as it is long. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Now, before we look at that exact number, let's just look at it symbolically. 12,000 furlongs. Well, as we've already said, 12 means completeness and divine order. 1,000 means fullness or perfection. So that's a good description of this city. Completeness, divine order, fullness, perfection. But how big is that? Well, this place is so big that just giving you the bare numbers really doesn't tell you anything. I'll have to do some comparisons. But 12,000 furlongs is 1,500 miles. Now, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles deep, and 1,500 miles tall. That's some, we can't comprehend that. But as far as the base area, 1,500 miles times 1,500 miles, that's about 72% the size of the United States. 2/3 to 3/4 the size of the United States, okay? That's the base area of this place. Now, and you check me out on this and prove me wrong if I'm wrong. I want to be corrected, because every time I calculated it, I kept saying that can't be right. That's too big. But if it's 1,500 miles tall, and you allowed, and I don't know what the layout's going to be like. I'm just thinking of it in terms of how we think of buildings. But let's say each level was 12 feet tall. That gives you plenty of space, doesn't it? It would have 660,000 levels. You know how much space each person would have? Well, first of all, how many people is going to be there? I don't know. But including the present population, so far, somewhere between 100 billion to 117 billion people have lived. Now, that's a big space for error, but you know, that's what I found. That's how many people have lived since the beginning of time. That's what I found when the secular opinion and from a biblical perspective, they'll say about 100 billion to 117 billion people have lived, including the world's present population of 8 billion. So I just said, okay, let's say 110 billion. Now, we know not everybody's going to heaven, right? We know God has an elect people. There is a hell. We don't rejoice in the fact that there's a hell, but we know that's the truth, that Jesus saved his people, and there are people that Jesus did not save. There are wicked men in this world that aren't redeemed by the blood of Christ. But for the sake of understanding this massive structure, even with 110 billion people, each person would have, listen to this now, each person would have about 3.5 by 3.5 miles of space. Your little apartment up there would be over 340 million square feet. That's amazing, isn't it? That's why I'm thinking, maybe this is all to be understood literally. This is how big it is. There's symbolic meaning, but this thing is huge. You know, we can't comprehend a structure like this. He says, the city lieth four square in the length, is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal, and he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, that's about a little over 200 feet, the wall around it, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear crystal, like unto clear glass. So this city is beyond our comprehension. It's made of gold. He said one place it's clear as crystal. Here he says was pure gold like unto clear glass. Speaking here of the wall around the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. And then he talks about the foundations of it. And each foundation is of a different type of precious stone. But we're going to stop there tonight. And I pray the Lord will continue to direct us as we look at this chapter.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.